And welcome to Calvary Baptist. We're so glad that you're here. Next Sunday will be Friend Day, and I'm really excited about Friend Day. I hope you will invite somebody this week, try to get a friend, neighbor, family member to attend, and every family that comes will get one of these free books, just a little mini booklet by Lee Strobel's called The Case for Christ. And Nathan will get a new series next week entitled Why Believe? Answers to Skeptics. And sometimes people are skeptical in society today. Maybe it's the programming of our culture or whatever, but this book will answer several questions that people have, and so we want to make sure and make that available for those. And so I hope you'll make sure and invite them to come for this service next Sunday. Today we're finishing a series entitled Hope and Real Hope You Can Count On. The idea is hope is centered, and we learned that it is, the very first week, it is affixed to Jesus Christ. You're looking for hope, and you're trying to find hope. The Bible makes it very clear that hope is in Jesus. In fact, I will tell you this. If you anchor your hope on anything else other than Jesus, it will fail. Paul Tripp said it this way. I like it. He says, if your hope disappoint you, it's because it's the wrong hope. And that kind of says it all. That's sort of the underlying surface, if you would, of all of this. So today, I want to help you with getting to the real hope for our community. And that's the title of my message today. And I want to define what the community is, because a lot of people aren't sure. When you use the word community, what are we talking about? Well, I'm going to define it in two ways, and that will help us to kind of understand. There is the public community. That's the community that we would maybe call Fairfield, Sassoon, Vacaville, Rio Vista, Cordelia, whatever, Travis. We would call this the public community. That's where you would shop. That's where you would meet people out in the public. That's where you'd buy your gas and those kind of things. So we would call that the public community. And then there's the private community. The private community might be like a school, or perhaps your workplace, or maybe at your home. You would say your home would be a private community. Those that you work close to and next to. Those places where you would be more than likely develop relationships with. So we talk about community then today in this message. We're talking about a place, quite frankly, where you live out your life every day. I mean, when you look at your community, you would have to say, how do I deal with the community in which I live in? And the question I want you to consider with me is this: do I have a responsibility to the community I live in? I mean, is it a place that I have any investment in? Well, the truth of the matter is, Jesus told us there is. And that responsibility is given to us by what is called, Christians call, the Great Commission. It is the mission that we have for being here. And that is that we are to offer real hope to those who we live around, those who we meet every day. We're to offer them real hope. And the message of that real hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are given that responsibility. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, we're going to look at Titus. And Paul's writing to the book of Titus to Titus, and in that book, he's writing to a man who lives and serves in his community. And he has desire to want to help his community. And Paul is writing to him to say, "Hey, look, you have a message and you have a real hope that could change the community in which you live in." The community is made up of people and situations not much different than ours today. Because quite frankly, we have the answer to our community, the real hope. I want to call your attention to verse number 11, if you would, in your Bibles. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. And here's what it says. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So when we talk about community, we have to ask ourselves a question. Well, how is our community doing? I mean, honestly, how are we doing here as a community? I mean, when you read the newspaper and you open it up, how are we doing generally here in our community? When a recent survey, Solano County teenagers, there were 12.9% of them admitted that they have a high use of marijuana and drugs. We have a very active substance abuse program here in Solano County, and each year it's reported there are over 4,000 people that go through this program. There are other programs that we have, like adults, which deal with parenting classes, anger management classes, and drug rehabs. Have you ever thought about it this way and done a little research? But there are, you realize that the drug rehabilitation programs are a $35 billion industry. And when I ride with police, that I often do, when I go out and ride with them, they will tell me that many of these programs are not working or have limited effects. And they know that because of the repeated offenders. But how are we doing? What is happening? Now, the programs are good because many of the programs are intended to help deliver short-term helps. The people are going through them, and I don't want to say anything bad necessarily about them, but they are only short-term solutions. What are the long-term solutions? I mean, what's going to really help make the difference? And let's move it just a step further. What about beyond this life into eternity? Where's the hope then for that? I mean, what can we offer that will give them lasting hope? In this series, we have defined the word hope as that which is attached and anchored to Jesus Christ. Now, I believe this, living in Solano County is a great place to live. In spite of the problems, we have some of the greatest benefits of living in this community. Just do a little research. We have the lowest unemployment in 10 years right here in Solano County. Our schools do a great job with their limited resources across the state. And some of the best services in the state are found for seniors right here in Solano County. But we want to give this community real hope. Hope beyond this life. Hope that will make all the difference in the world. Because eternity is on the horizon. We know it won't be long before each of us will leave this life to go into eternity. And what hope do we have for eternity? What hope do we have beyond this life? What are we leaning to? What are we saying? You know what? That's where my hope is. Well, in these verses that Paul was writing, he was talking about real hope. He's saying real hope for community. When you think of real hope, he's talking about some expectations, because hope is that which we expect for a better future. So let me give you three of them. Let me call your attention to the first one. If you notice in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 in your Bibles, God gives us the very first expectation, and that's a changed heart. Notice in verse number 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." As we contribute in our community, our time, our energy, our taxes, all our resources, what are we offering to this community? And that is, we can offer to them a message that changes the heart of the individual. A changed heart comes through, the Bible says, salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm thoroughly convinced that when God comes into our heart and changes us, he doesn't just change us. He transforms us from the inside out. He gives us a brand new desires. He gives us a brand new outlook on life. And that's why we have Friend Day at our church. That's the emphasis on in trying to help encourage people to come. You know something I found? People don't generally come to church unless they have a reason to come to church. And by the way, I believe that Jesus should be the reason to come to church. But as we have special days, we can invite people and all of that and our friends, what we're doing is we're saying, look, we have a real hope. We want to tell you about it. We want to talk to you about it. We want you to know that real hope that we have, that changed our heart, that changed us and given us a reason to live. As we share this message in the area, people are looking for hope, and that comes inside. You know, we are living in, considered, I believe it's Fairfield and Sassoon, both of those cities are considered the most culturally diverse city in the United States. When I think of that, that gives me a great encouragement to know that as I'm sharing this hope, I'm like a missionary right here in my community. That I come in contact with people, and I can talk to them and share with them how that God can make all the difference in the world, how that there is real hope. That's what our vision is. Our vision is that real hope for real people is found in Jesus. That's our mission. That's why we have what we have, and that's why we want to offer to them lasting hope, that which will make all the difference in a person's life. That's why Jesus came, by the way, to offer hope. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again because of his resurrection. He could offer hope to every one of us that one day when we die, that we can have the promise of a better tomorrow, and that is because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He rose again the third day, and the best news of all of it is what we find here is found in the word grace. Because grace means you can't earn your way to heaven. You don't earn it because you join a church or because you get baptized or because you try to be a good person. The only way to go to heaven is because of what Jesus did, by calling upon him. Because what he says to you is, he says, my hope, my offer of salvation is not what you work for. It's what's already been paid for by me. And I freely offer that to you when you receive me as your personal Savior. Thank God for his grace. Without his grace, it would be a tragic thing. And our message this morning is that of God's grace. It's that which matters. It's that which will change our hearts. By the way, don't be shy about sharing that message. Don't be shy about letting people know about God's grace. You know, it might be that for you, that you may have a neighbor or friend or family member who may come to you and ask you questions like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with these things. I don't know how I can handle these matters. And you can tell them about hope. Maybe it's through a tragedy. Maybe it's a hospital visit. Maybe it could be something going on in the neighborhood. Something, they're looking for hope. That hope that we find in Jesus. So the first expectation is we realize that hope begins with a changed heart. But the second expectation we find in here that Paul writes about is a changed life. While hope starts in the heart, once the heart is changed, now we have a life change. What happened on the inside transforms us so that on the outside, things begin to change. And if our community is going to change, it has to start with the heart. But then as God begins to work in the heart, we begin to see what happens on the inside. That's what he says in verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Wow. God says, once I do that work on the inside, your life is going to change. And explains that better over in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Here's what he says. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here's what happens. When I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, my life is no longer mine. I'm not the master of my destiny. I no longer belong to me. It's not about me and what I want. I have a new master. That new master is Jesus. It's about him and what he wants in my life. And when I begin to work, or when I begin to surrender to God and let Jesus work in my life, then now God is going to change me and my life to work. It's no longer what I want, it's what he wants, because he knows best. This morning, if you're here today and you are a believer, you have accepted Christ as Savior. The Bible said that when that came, when Jesus came in your heart, he gave you a changed heart. He also changed your life. In the Old Testament, we read a story about the Ninevites. Now, the Ninevites were terrible, terrible people to be an enemy to. How many ever met someone that you say, man, I'm really glad they're my friend because I would not want them to be my enemy? Anyone ever met someone like, you know what I'm talking about? That's how the Ninevites were. I mean, they were rough people. If they were your enemies, they would kill you. They were known, I don't want to get into all the graphic detail, but I will tell you this one. They would take people out in the desert and bury them from the neck down. And they would leave them out there in the desert and let them literally die an excruciating death right there in the sun as they dried up. And Jonah, God called Jonah to go preach to Ninevites. Now, it wasn't Jonah's idea. In fact, Jonah didn't want to preach to Ninevites because he knew that God was big enough and powerful enough to work in their heart and that they would accept him as their Savior. But Jonah went and preached. And when he did, there was a nationwide movement of people turning to God. In fact, it had such a powerful impact that their lives were changed for over 100 years. And here's the reason why. They had a brand new master. No longer was it them or about them, but it was about the Lord. And this morning, honestly, when we look at what the scriptures teach us, that we are no longer our own. We are under the leadership of God himself. He is our master. He is our Lord. And as our hearts are changed by God's grace, he gives us a brand new direction. If you notice here, there's a desire to turn away. And Titus, he says that, you know, that teaching us denying ungodliness. Why would we want God, ungodliness in our life? We wouldn't want that. We're going to turn away from that because of what God is doing in our hearts. You see, this is how the community can be changed. This is how we can impact our community, is giving them real hope, because that's what's going to offer hope to this community. The story is told of a little girl who one day was walking along a beach that is filled with starfish that have been washed ashore. She was walking along, and every now and then she'd stop and pick up one and throw it over into the ocean. A man was watching her curiously and walked up to her and said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm throwing this starfish back so that he can live." And she said, "Don't you realize that you can't make a difference for all of these starfish? I mean, there's so many." And she picked up one and threw it back in the ocean. She said, "But I can for one. I can for one." And let me tell you, sometimes it's easy to be in a community as large as we live in, an area as large as we live in. And just like me, when I get on the freeway, on Interstate 80, and I don't know where all those cars have come from the last 25 years. But when I got here, it was 3 lanes. Now it's like 6 lanes. And I can't even get hardly from, I hear on West Texas all the way up to North Texas without, you know, waiting in line to get there. And I'm wondering, how can I make a difference? And all I can tell you is this, just one. If you can make a difference in one, you made a difference. And the Bible says here that for all of us, that we, if we have a new master, and we understand our new master is Jesus, and that Jesus is working our life, that we can make a difference, even if you invite just one friend. And one friend comes, and their life can be changed. It's because it's the power of the gospel. It is not us. We only have the message. It is God that does the work in our life. Honestly, real hope is not found in a social program in our community. Real hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Labor Day 2007, I got a phone call at 9:30 in the evening. I was about ready to go to bed. That's about my bedtime. I got a phone call, and the phone call was from our city manager here in Fairfield. And he said, "Will you do me a favor?" And I said, "What?" He goes, "Matt Garcia just got shot, and we don't know what his condition is." He said, "Will you go to the hospital and help us out?" I remember getting in the car. I said, "Yes, sir." And I got in the car, and I remember that lonely drive that night down to Walnut Creek. That's before we had Kaiser in Vacaville, and the trauma center was in Walnut Creek. Matt had been shot with a .22 in the back of the head, and the bullet had rolled its way through his brain, tearing up all inside his brain and landing at the forefront of his head. Remember when I arrived on the scene, I had no idea what I was going to do. I was rather nervous. And I got there, and the mayor was there. The fire chief was there. And the city manager were there, and they all waited. They were waiting for me to get there. Remember, we walked into that ER room. And as I made my way in, outside that room, there were about 300 people in the parking lot from our city there. Everyone waiting for the news of how he's doing. I walked in and I said, "Mr. Mayor, how's he doing?" He goes, "It's not doing good at all. We don't even know if he's alive. But we want you to go back and pray with the family." I went in to pray with the family and came back out. And the city manager said, "We don't know what to do. But we know that you know the one that does." And he said, "I want you to do me a favor." And this is our city manager here of Fairfield in 2007. "I want you to go out in this parking lot where all these people are, and I want us to all hold hands, and I want you to pray for God to do something." I'll never forget that. We prayed, and 30 minutes later, we did it again. And 30 minutes later, we did it again. We had a 30-minute prayer vigil for Matt's survival. The unfortunate part is, of course, Matt did not survive. But what did take place that night was that in a moment that people realized that there was a hope that they needed beyond what they already had. They realized that there was only one hope, and that hope was in God above, who could do all things. They needed something bigger than themselves. They needed hope bigger than themselves. And I'm going to tell you today, that's no different today than it was in 2007, because right here in this community, there are a lot of people right here, and what they're looking for is, they're not looking for a bigger house, a nicer car. They're looking for something they can have hope in. They want something that can make a difference in their life, something that can bring satisfaction to them. That's what they're looking for. And I believe that's the hope for our community. There's no doubt about it. That's where real hope is. There's a third expectation that I find in these verses, and that's a changed future. A changed future. Notice what the Bible says: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This passage is a promise of a changed future. The current world is broken and marred by the effects of sin. I mean, we got problems in the world. There's the pain, the sorrow, the terrible social problems that we are dealing with every day right here in our community. But it wasn't that way in the original creation. The Garden of Eden was a wonderful place. I mean, honestly, when I think about the Garden of Eden, that's a pretty amazing, amazing place I read about. It was perfect in every way. There was God and man. They were in communication. There was the husband and wife, and everything was going well, and the relationship was just perfect. The weather was perfect, just like today. The food was great. No indigestion, by the way. Amen. Everything was great. How could you not have enjoyed it? And here's what God says. When sin came, it destroyed all that. But Jesus is going to come back one day. He's going to restore that once again. He's going to make a new heaven, a new earth, and there's going to be a better future. It's all going to be wrapped around, not because of our social programs or because of our wantingness or because of these things that we think we can manipulate. It's because the blessed hope Jesus is returning. And those of us who have real hope in Jesus realize that when he does come back, that it's going to be a great future with him as we dwell with him and with those around us. That's God's desire for this world. He wants us to have the Garden of Eden once again. And only he can bring that. And that comes through his return and that relationship that we have. And we won't be concerned about the pains and sorrows and heartaches of this world. All those things will be past. We'll be able to dwell in peace with God and in harmony with one another. And everything will be better when Jesus comes back. Paul said, that's the promise of real hope. But until then, what about today? What can I do? What can I do, like the little girl, what could she do with all the people around us? What can we do? How can we offer real hope to our community? I would suggest to you, number one, to assume your responsibility for helping your community. Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, they had two children, Cain and Abel. Let me ask you a question. Between Cain and Abel, who would be the example? It was Abel. I mean, the truth of the matter is, when you looked at it, they were concerned about their community. The Cain and Abel of the story was the fact that when Cain slew Abel, here's what Cain asked God. God, am I my brother's keeper? You know what God said? You are indeed. And today, as we're here in our community, whether it be public or private, the question comes in, are you your brother's keeper? And the answer to God is yes. I'm to contribute to my community. I'm to make a difference where I am. And no, I may not be able to reach everybody, and all those people driving that car on the freeway, I can't reach all of them, but I can make the difference in one. And maybe another, and it may be another, and it may be another. I can make a difference because I have real hope, and real hope is found in the message of Jesus Christ. Assume our responsibility helping our community. That's so important. It's so vital if we're going to see a difference and make a difference. But second of all, we can pray and invite our community to hear the gospel, to hear the message of hope. That may be that for you, when you're talking to that neighbor, they're asking you about things, they're looking for hope. I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you that people are going through a heartache or tragedy or difficulty, or they're looking for answers. All they're wanting is some hope. And every one of us can pray, dear God, enable me to be able to have the ability to share with them real hope. And that hope is found in Jesus. But then thirdly, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, would you do that today? I mean, that's where the real hope is. You know, all of us one day, we're all going to face eternity. And what hope do we have for eternity? We have no other hope except Jesus. Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? You let him be your Lord today. Let him be your master. it could transform your life, and what a difference it can make.